all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore.
For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth.
And exhort you today in the Word of God, which is our spiritual food, that manna that causes us to grow and mature by faith. Praise God. And I have a title for our teaching, which we're going to talk about. And the title is, Has God Cut Us Off Without a Penny? Has God cut us off without a penny? One of the lies of the enemy, and he's very vocal in this, is that God won't bless you. He's not going to give you what you've asked for. It's going to be hard. It's going to be very little blessing. Your life is going to be miserable. You're going to feel rejected and lonely. And not much is going to go your way. And we believe the subtleties of that, don't we? We somehow battle that God does want to bless us. Not only does he want to bless us, but he wants to share his nature with us. And when we first get saved, we don't really have much realization of that. We're all out to try and convert the world. We all think that we have the answers, and that we simply read the promises, the scriptures, and go out and perform it, and so on, only to find that we fall on our face, or it doesn't work out how we thought. One of the biggest things that we have to watch with regard to the enemy's lies, that we don't take on board resentment, unforgiveness, anger. And I believe the house of God today, modern contemporary Christianity, this is a bigger problem than we actually realize. And I don't think many preachers and teachers are actually addressing this and challenging this. But it is a big problem, and it always has been a big problem. And the reason being is because of the enemy's lies. And we're all too quick to listen to his lies. You see, his lies have a way of convincing you that they're true because of how you feel or what sort of day you had or whether you had an argument with someone. Whatever the situation, the enemy has a way of being very vocal and accusing God that he is not faithful to his promises, to his nature. And the tragedy is, because of feelings, emotions, we're all too quick to believe it. And then we find we go through battles. We find that the love of God, the presence of God, is not as it should be in our lives. And then when we discover that we have been believing a lie, we come before God and we repent. We ask the Lord to forgive us. The trouble is that we don't always learn from those experiences. We don't ask God to help us to be on our guard so that I don't fall victim to this again. And then we find ourselves going down that same road again and again and again and again until we wonder, does this all really work? Is this really worth it? What have I got to show in my life as a Christian? I know all of this because I go through it the same as you do. And that is why I want to share with you today that God has not cut us off without a penny. And I want to again expose the lies of the enemy. And you will begin to see in time why the enemy is suggesting such lies to you. And I wonder why. Turn with me, if you will, to the second epistle of Peter. And we're going to look at verses 2 and 3 and 4. Verses 2 to 4. I primarily really want to hone in on verse 4, but I feel we need to lead up to this. So this is 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 2 to 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given us to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. I like the last bit of what the apostle says here. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. And that is what my introduction was when I started this. Because we still listen to the lusts of the flesh, which Satan appeals to and he lies to. Because we're still fleshly. We're still emotional. We're still affected by emotions. And of course, we have these emotions. They're godly given. But these emotions, these feelings, are not to get in the way of God's promises. God's very nature that he shares with us. And that is what we battle. And the only way that can be dealt with is as we walk by the way of the cross and obedience. Otherwise, you are going to be in that constant battle. And eventually, if you're in those constant battles, you will give way to the enemy's lies. It's always what happens. Well, that is why we're here today. That is why God has brought us here today, so that we can rise above this. We can start to see these changes in our lives. Because we've received and we share God's own very nature. We receive his new nature in our nature, and that is renewed by the Spirit of God. Now, of course, that is a miraculous work. That is the miracle of your life and my life. Because without that miracle, this is not going to happen. And so because we now have received his very nature into our lives, we now develop these. And how do we develop this? By coming and listening to the word of God. Because faith comes by hearing that word. Faith develops us. Faith causes us to exercise, to be active in the promises of God's word. Not only that, but it creates those godly habits by recognizing his provision for us. It's like an exercise. We've got a world today that wants to go to gyms and exercise. But how much more for us when we come together in the presence of Almighty God under the anointing, where he's revealing himself, revealing his promises, revealing his nature to us, in order that we can exercise spiritually, that we can have our minds renewed, we can be taught. That is why I believe the gospel is a message to the wholeness of man, to mind, body, and spirit. That is the nature. That is what it's to do. We are to put our spiritual nourishment, exercise, development first above everything else. That is seeking the kingdom of God. But so often we get it round the other way. We're more interested in the things that appeal to the flesh, to the pride, to the vanity of man. And God has to work with us. Sometimes he has to chastise us to bring us back onto that path, that narrow path that only God and God alone can keep you on. Very well. It says, doesn't it, in verse 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. Now there's a very key word there in that verse, and that word is partakers. Now, do you understand what that means? Well, if you were to look at this word, you will find that it means that you are a partner. You are an associate. In other words, you have been brought into divine fellowship with Almighty God. You have become a partaker of his divine nature through Jesus Christ. God has given himself over to you and me. He is sharing himself with you. He says, we're partners. And we know, of course, that the idea of that, the experience of that, the Apostle Paul gave to the Ephesians, it's a marriage. We are married to him through Jesus Christ. We are being prepared for that marriage. We're betrothed. We've become a partner, an associate. We're in fellowship. We're in covenant with him. Why am I stressing this so much? Because of this title. God has not cut us off without a penny. And that doesn't mean just money. It also means in a metaphorical sense. Well, let's turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 23. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 23. If anyone inquires about Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker concerning you. Or if our brethren are inquired about, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. So here we get this understanding of being a partner, an associate. The Apostle Paul uses the very idea with Titus. He is my partner. He is my fellow worker. We're one in Christ. That is unity oneness. We're all, if you like, fellow workers. The same in our fellowship. You are my partner. I am your partner. That's what the unity and oneness of the body of Christ is about. We're brought into this fellowship. But this will only ever come if you're first having fellowship with Almighty God. Let's give some other expressions of this to give us an idea. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 20. Look here what this says. This is an eye-opener. Rather that things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. Again, partnership, an associateship with demons. Of course, he's speaking about their fleeing from idolatry, idolatrous things. Well, we still have idols today, myriads of them. And many of the heathens have fellowship with them, are partakers with them, associated with them. They give their lives over to them in witchcraft, divination. They give themselves over deliberately. Here's this idea again, this same understanding. You and I would have been like that had it not been for God to impart his divine nature to us. Let's turn back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1. We're dealing with this understanding, this word partakers. Here, 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 1. The elders who are among you, I exhort, who am a fellow elder, a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. So the Apostle Paul not only partakes in sufferings and so forth, but he's a partaker of the glory, what also will be revealed. He has a great insight, a revelation of this. This is being imparted to him through the divine nature that is received of God through Jesus Christ. And that is to be your witness. That is to be your experience. And the only way we will experience this as we come and we fellowship and we come partaking of the Word of God. So why is it we're not experiencing this really as we should be? Well, often it's because we can't see. And the reason you can't see is because you still see too much of yourself. And that is always the big problem. If you're saying in your heart today, as you're listening to this, oh, I wish this was my experience more. Yes, I say amen to this. This is right what I'm hearing. But what is the problem? The problem is you can't see. And the reason you can't see, because you're seeing too much of yourself. Self is still in the way. Self-pity is still in the way. And it comes by that yielding, that obeying. If you love him, then you do it. You don't question. You don't argue. You don't find excuses. And God, in many ways, is ever working that godly affections within us for that. And of course, this comes as we ask, as we seek God in prayer, as we ask him to place this in our heart. And no loving father will ever turn his ears and heart away from those requests. He will surely give it. But the reason we can't always see this experience of the divine nature in my life is because there's still too much of yourself. You know, one of the worst things that we say is, I can't, or I can't afford it, or God won't do that, or he won't do that in this life, or whatever. There's so much of I can't, I can't. I can't afford it. And it's not just money, although God often uses that. It can be with time, commitment, time of prayer, just seeking those godly things. So often we find we can't, because there's something else that's pressing, that's taking over. And you know why that happens? Because you're not seeking first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. This is why I always keep stressing this so much. The Christian life and walk should be a supernatural, miraculous walk. You don't walk like the world. You don't act like the world. You don't live like the world. And therefore, we don't become consumed or anxious like the world is. This is why we have so much mental problem now. Anxiety, depression. It's epidemic. And it's getting worse and worse. Because of the pressures of modern day life and living. Why do you think that God at the moment is allowing life to be so all-consuming, so complicated, so bureaucratic, so controlling? Why do you think he's allowing this, brothers and sisters, to get your life and my life in order? To get you to rise above all of this? To experience his strength made perfect in weakness. That's why he's allowing this. For that very purpose. Until the bride of Christ gets this from her head to her heart. That she doesn't walk like the world. Or act like the world. Or live like the world. Or is concerned with the things of the world. When we get that deliverance, then God will turn to the world and judge it. You know, we find ourselves saying, come, Lord Jesus. How long are you going to let this go on? He's going to let this go on till you get it right. Because God is in control. He's going to let it go on All the while you're still worried and concerned about money. He's going to let it go on. All the while you're not putting him first, the kingdom of God first. He's going to let it go on. Because we're in a shaking process. Everything is being shaken. You see, it's one of the worst lies that are wrapped up in our confession. We're still confessing like the world. And we shouldn't be. Our confession is a godly confession. It is a confession of the promises of our Father given to us. We will only confess when we have a revelation of this in our hearts. And we rise above all of this. But if you can't see, then you're going to confess like the world. You may try and change your confession after hearing this teaching, but I'll tell you what, it won't last. It won't last until you start to rise above it. Until you start to experience the divine nature that God has imparted to you and I. That we're partakers of that very nature. Because that's what he says. Hallelujah. So, we talk, don't we, as if our Heavenly Father has cut us off without a penny. He's a meanie. He doesn't love me. The devil's lie. No. You know, our Heavenly Father, and I've preached this one for years. He is so generous. He is so giving. He has so much to share with us. We've just scratched the surface to what is experienced even in this life by his divine nature that lives in and through us. And that's why we have access to his kingdom. Because of his nature, because he shares, he says, you will share my kingdom. We will share it together. And so much of the church today teaches that's when you get to glory. It isn't. We start to partake it now. We know that through the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're now sharing even in this life. So has God cut us off without a penny? No, he's not. All that I have, I share with you. And what does God have? Well, you're not seeing because you're blind. You're not seeing what he has to share with you is because you're not experiencing his divine nature in your life, taking over in weakness. That's what he's come for. That is the good news of the gospel. That is what salvation is about. That we are partakers now of his divine nature. That's why it's no longer us anymore. But the enemy's lie, he wants to remind you still of your old life. And how you were. And how you lived. And how you act. That's his lie. No, we have access to his kingdom. And yet, you know, in our hypocrisy, our pride, we think it's so spiritual to say, oh, I just made it in today. Oh, I just scraped in by the skin of my teeth. And we're all spiritual and all proud. That is not how we're to live. All of Almighty God is ours through Jesus Christ. I'm going to give that to you again. All of Almighty God is ours through Jesus Christ. We don't just scrape in. We don't just drag our feet along. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We are the only people, when we get into prayer and warfare, who've won the battle before we even open our mouths. And yet, poor me, oh Lord, and we're so devout and so spiritual, and we live like paupers. Now, I'm all for the abundant life. I'm all for blessings. And I've preached that for many, many years. But I'm not all for what I hear being taught today. You see, they want all the blessings, but they don't want the commitment. They don't want the life that God has ordained for us to walk. And that's where it's gone so tragically wrong. And it will go tragically wrong in your life. And we don't always put him first. And that is always the big problem, isn't it? But all of Almighty God is ours through Jesus Christ. And he's going to reach to the utmost if we will obey him. He's going to reach to the utmost to all of those who, I believe, who've embraced this word today, who want to be serious about this, who are serious for change. He's going to reach to the utmost in your life if you obey him and put him first, and not your own feelings, your own ideas, your own prejudice, or your own experiences, or whatever it is. Just obey him. And the problem is, we get the mind in the way and we begin to analyze and question, and then it doesn't happen. You see, we allow our circumstances, our trials, to get in the way. And that's always the problem. Why shouldn't we have trials? Why shouldn't it be hard to make it into the kingdom of God? Who are we? Who are we to gripe and moan? When what it's cost Jesus Christ, what it cost him for our salvation. No, we get it all wrong. Because it's still that pride within us. How dare he put me through this trial? How dare he expose that in me? We don't say it in words like that, but that's the reaction. And do you know why that is? Because that is what you're looking at. You're looking at poor me. Self-pity. Look at my life. Look what's happened, and so on. And that is all you're looking at. Look away from it, brothers and sisters. Look to the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Look to Christ and share Almighty God and his divine nature and what pertains to that divine nature. Because if you don't do that, depression and oppression will continue to build and build and build in your life. Believe me, the good news of the gospel is that we can look away and we can look to Jesus, the author, finisher of our faith. But the trouble is, we give way to unbelief, we give way to self-pity. And when you do that, brothers and sisters, you remove God's riches and blessings from your life. You remove that peace from your life. And everything starts to become a burden. And not only that, I might add, but it also hinders others from being blessed. It hinders others from entering into God's provisions. And that is why we can hinder one another in our fellowship. When we refuse to change. I'm not talking about if God's exposing and he's working deliverance. That's not a problem. Because we're all a work in progress. Where you hinder your brother and sister is when you don't want to change. You don't want to obey. And you can hinder your brothers and sisters from their entering in into God's provisions and blessings. And that's why eventually God removes, or he puts people to one side. Because they refuse to change, they become a hindrance to others being blessed. And we've seen God do that. You know, the problem is, there are too many spiritual sponges always absorbing and never giving. And that is a big problem in the house of God. Because they have never seen what is theirs in Christ Jesus. They think God has cut them off without a penny. And they hold to this poverty. And often it's religious in nature. And not only that, but these people, they are also never satisfied. They're always complaining, always critical, and so on. And brothers and sisters, we don't have to go looking for that. That's the tragedy of it. Because they're not experiencing God's divine nature that he has shared with us. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Listen to, he says, they're exceedingly great. They're not just great, they're exceedingly. You can't even begin to comprehend these precious promises. And they are ours through being partakers of God's divine nature. And because we're partakers of God's divine nature, look at the greatest, greatest gift through this, that we escape the corruptions that are in the world through lusts. You've escaped it. You've been snatched out of it. That's what he's done. And yet we go around like paupers. And the reason being is because we're looking to the wrong things. We're looking to what God has not done. We're looking to where I've been believing now for years but got nothing to show for it. That's what you're looking at. You are what you look at. Because what you're looking at is what you're confessing, is what you're believing. And is it bringing you joy? Is it bringing you blessing? Is it bringing you peace? Not at all. It's making you miserable. And it separates you. It isolates you. It makes you a prisoner. Rise up. Rise up. God has shared the kingdom of God with you and with me. As I bring this to conclusion, Psalm 87. Psalm Psalm 87 and verse 7. In the day of my troubles, I will call upon you. I'm looking at the wrong one. Sorry, verse 7, Psalm 87. Both the singers and the players on instruments say, all my springs are in you. All my springs are in you. What an abundance, eh? And that's what they're singing and praising God about. That's why worship and praise is so powerful, because it reminds us of that. But you know what? God holds us also responsible to this, particularly when we've heard, for example, in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that always having all efficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. That you may have an abundance for every good work. Everything you do, everything you say, everything you put your hands to, you may have an abundance for every good work. Why is that? It's very simple. It's not for you to elevate you. It is for His glory. Do you not want to glorify your Heavenly Father? Of course you do, if you are partakers of His divine nature. But if you're always looking to your circumstances, then it won't bother you. You won't be interested. Friends, come back to God with your whole heart, and all will flow from His throne. It's with the whole heart we worship Him. It's with the whole heart we walk with Him. It's with the whole heart we're in fellowship. And everything else will flow. Because God hasn't cut us off without a penny. And your riches and your blessings in this life not only are for you, but to be shared as well. That is why I've always said I believe in the abundant life. But the abundant life is so abundant that others are blessed also. You can never outgive God. The more you give, the more comes back, if you give it in the right heart and spirit. But the problem is, we allow that fear, that anxiety to get in. We're taking our eyes away and we're looking to that instead of looking fully to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, brothers and sisters, this can work so quickly. It's not always a process that's been happening over weeks or whatever it is. It can happen within a few minutes. You can take your eyes away. And suddenly that peace, His presence, His touch in your life is not the same. That's why we're to be always continually in prayer in that sense. Praying without ceasing. If you feel your eyes are coming off the Lord, or you've heard something that's upset you, or whatever it is, just talk to Him there and then. Lord, help me. I don't want to take my eyes off you, what I've just heard, or that experience, or how I'm feeling today. I want my eyes fully on you. Help me. And He will. He's immediately there. And that strength flows from his throne, keeping you in that unbroken fellowship 24/7. But he tests us sometimes to see if that's what we really want. Or you still want to look to poor self, poor me. Look what I'm going through. Look what I'm not getting from the Lord. Why is it so many other brothers and sisters seem to be blessed and everything? And look at me, I'm getting nothing. That's the reason why. Because that's what you're looking at. And you will never experience his divine nature looking at that. And that is the devil's lie. You say, as I close with this, well, how do I rise above this? You don't. It's as you confess it. It's as you bring it out and place it at the foot of the cross and confess it as sin and unbelief. Then the power of God will start to raise you up. That's what he always does. And why does God do that? Because God cannot deny himself that lives in you and me. That's why. Heavenly Father, thank you today. Thank you that we need to hear this. You've not cut us off without a penny, as we've heard. Anything but. Forgive us, Father, that we're still looking away and looking at those circumstances, looking at those things that we're worried and anxious about. Forgive us, Lord, help us. Oh, Father, that we leave it at the foot of the cross. Lord, we need and we're desperate for your power to raise us up. That we look above all of these things, that we're looking wholly and completely to you and you alone. Lord, our desire, having heard this teaching today, is that we walk in that unbroken fellowship 24/7. We can never rest till that is our experience, Lord. And so, Father, I thank you for the privilege of being able to share today with my brothers and sisters. Bless, preserve, and keep them always. Father, I pray that their faith fails not and that they will be a blessing and glory to you and to all those around them and to the church. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Beautiful words of Jesus. In these days, as he's feeding us out of his mouth, this is a word of life to us, a word that we take and we devour. It becomes our very being, doesn't it? Man shall not live.
By